Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in the house of God? I am really, really excited to be here today. It was a wonderful, it's a day that I always look forward, you know, when Sunday comes, I look forward to coming here and being blessed and, you know, standing in the gap, you know, for the sake of the brothers and sisters, and also to cry out to my Father. For every one of us has an opportunity to go before the Lord and just be happy and be glad for what the Lord has done for us. Praise the Lord. Pastor Wilson arrived in Kenya safely, and they are really, really enjoying the family companionship and, you know, the family reunion. And even though I've not talked to him, he passed his greetings to you. Do you receive them? Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you receive his greetings? Oh, he's right there. He's looking at me. Yeah, so he's really enjoying with his family. The wife is very, very happy and excited. And so we thank God even for what he has been, he was, even in the last 4 years that he was with us. Amen. Thank you so much, Julius. Welcome, and your family. We love, you know, having visitors all the way from North Carolina. I've been to North Carolina many, many times. And I know there's North Carolina is just next to the coast, you know. So they enjoy the breeze, you know, from the ocean. But let me tell you, summer in Dallas is going to be very nice for you. And anyway, we are still here, amen? So you're still going to be here too, amen? Well, I'm really, really excited about the word of the Lord and what the Lord is doing in our midst. The Lord is really doing new things in our lives. And there are many, many things that we have in store. I want you to get excited because in the next few weeks we'll be sharing some of the things with you that are very, very beneficial to our church, that will be very, very put us together, create a connectivity with one another, and things that are going to make us have a clear focus in where we want to face in 2012. I really normally get excited, you know, when I see little children coming here and, you know, singing and praying. You know, it gives us the essence of urgency that God has put destiny in our lives. You know, in the name of these children that we have here, we are going to model a life for them. Even as we serve the Lord, we want to set a good example for them. Amen. So that even as we serve the Lord, as we come to the house of the Lord, and as we gather as families, building up family altars in our homes, and these children will grow up in the fear of the Lord. And so I really get excited to know that the Lord has given us a responsibility to take care of each one of them. And so it's a blessing. I want to share with us this morning on a concept that I call waiting on the Lord. Somebody say waiting on the Lord. Now, how many of you have been in a waiting room, like in a hospital waiting room, you know? And I know we have so many nurses here. We have a lot of medical people in our... I don't really want to pin down on what you do. You actually do an excellent job, amen? But how many of you... I know every single one of us has been in a waiting room. I don't know some of you that really got really excited when you are in a waiting room. And you really wanted your name to be called, and you had an appointment to see a doctor, you know, and you waited and waited, and you were there for only about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but it seemed like a long, long, long time. Hallelujah. Waiting upon God. Waiting is tough. Somebody say, waiting is tough. Yeah, waiting is tough. But... waiting upon God is a very, very important concept that we read from the Bible, from the Word of God, and it has been emphasized, you know, from push, especially in the Old Testament. The Lord talks really about waiting on Him. There are so many benefits that we have in waiting upon the Lord. Now, as generations have evolved, you know, a long time ago we didn't have mechanization in the world, you know, People used to walk distances. There never used to be cars. There never used to be forms of transportation. You remember, like, it wasn't actually a long, long time ago that we didn't have any form of transmitting mail. You know, we used, actually, before even the postal service was, you know, came by, people used to hand over mail to people, you know, and in a country where I came from, there was an advertisement that normally came over Maasai runner who was being handed over a letter, and he was supposed to deliver it to a certain town, and he would run and run and run, holding that piece of letter until he would deliver it. And that was the Stone Age. I would really call it the Stone Age. And then came the postal service, and it was really working okay. You know, you would send a letter, especially when you would send a letter to your loved one. Even if you would take about a week or so, you would know that they would get it. And you would be patient to wait until that letter would get to them. Praise the Lord. But even as industrial revolution has come and our technology has evolved, now we have what we call electronic mail system. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, what you used to love as the postal mail system is now regarded as snail mail. You know, they call it snail mail. In fact, you look like you are from the old age if you're going to send a letter through the mail. You know, we are so used to IM, you know, instant messaging. You know, we can Skype with somebody from a far country. You can be looking at them and you can be looking at the environment where they are. So as technology and industrial revolution has evolved, it has diminished or belittled the meaning of waiting. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, I don't know how many of you really love waiting on something. You know, with technology and advancements, you know, we are surrounded by machines. We are surrounded by operators that we can, by a push of a button, you know, get instant food. We can get fast food. You can get to where you want to go in an instant, you know. But the Lord really, really, really want to instill the virtue of waiting upon Him, even as advancements have taken place. Praise be to God. So it doesn't matter whether you can send email or you can text to, you can send a text to your friend and they can get it instantly. The Lord still, I believe the Lord still is still interested for us to, absorb or kind of like being engrossed in the concept of waiting, because it is very, very important. It is noted it has been annotated in the Bible. It is a requirement. It is a concept that has been instilled in the Bible. And so the Lord really loves us waiting on Him. Praise be to God. Now, I know that there are some of us who, in the process of waiting, we have missed the mark and we have chosen to go out and do our own things. Now, why is waiting so difficult? Especially to all of us. Why is waiting so difficult? I can really come to every individual here, and I know you can give me of a story where you waited upon something. You waited either on a job. You waited either on you getting married. You waited either on a child. You waited either on a job that you applied for. And the process that involved you waiting before you could arrive at the manifestation of the answer was not easy. Praise be to God. Why is waiting so difficult? Now, as a fallen nature, as human beings who have been because of sin, we fell, you know, from the grace of the Lord. We have this innate natural responses of can do spirit. You know, we feel like we can do it by our own ability. We can do it by our own strength. You know, and there is a tendency many times, you know, to scheme our own plot. You know, when you have organized for something and it has where you're supposed to wait on something, and if it takes a little bit longer, we have this innate natural response that I want to go ahead and plan everything and do it for myself. But let me tell you, our own strength and our own abilities are limited. And many times when we take matters at our own hands and scheme and try to do certain things that the Lord wants us to wait on Him, we end up getting frustrated. We end up getting angry. We end up getting fidgety or over everything that we are doing because we are so limited and we are not able to achieve certain things. I remember many times, many years ago when I really wanted to get married. I was a young man, and a time came that I wanted to really get married, and I was really praying and fasting and, you know, for the Lord to bring the miss right my way. And let me tell you, it was not an easy process. And I don't know how many men have been in that situation whereby you know that it is time for you to get married. And when you look all around you, nobody seemed to be the person that connects you or will be connected to you to be your future partner. And you have prayed and waited upon God and you've done all that you can do. And I remember I was working in a bank back in Africa. And every single morning, having prayed and waited upon God, I'd get into what they call matatu. Some of you know that. For Sister Lorraine's sake, it's a public transportation vehicles that transport people from one place to another. They call it matri or, you know, matatu. And so I'd get into that matatu, and the first thing that I would do, I would peep across the whole section of the matatu to see whether my wife was in that van. And let me tell you, what a stupid thing to find that, to realize or to think that my wife would be in that very vehicle that I would get in mind. Let me tell you, it continued day after day after day after day after day, and even for months. And it was not an easy process. And finally, of course, I want to thank God, because the Lord, after waiting the Lord even in my stupidity, the Lord brought Catherine my way, and the rest was history. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Gideon. Waiting is a difficult aspect. You might be, probably you may have applied for a job situation, and it's really tough to endure, and you are waiting and hoping that conditions will change for the better. It could be that you are without a job and you have tried to apply. How many of you? I know many people who have applied and applied for this office. In fact, I met one person and they told me that they have applied in 300 offices. They had made 300 applications and none of those had turned in with an answer. You know, it could be that you're ill or one of your loved ones has been ill and you've been trusting God, you know, for the Lord to come through. You've been praying and crying and sending prayer requests for people to come through. And eventually, it has taken too long. I remember instantly right now as I'm speaking to you about when my son Ron was young. And when he was born, you know, he was born just like a normal child, you know, when they are born. But after he grew up, you know, he developed this kind of an illness. He was not able to breathe. And so it was a struggle. When he would sleep, his airways would completely shut down and he would never breathe. In fact, my son would wake up and choke up and we would think that, he would die. As a matter of fact, I remember months after months after months, you know, we were running like a shift with my wife. My wife would be awake for a certain number of hours and I'll be awake a certain number of hours so that we could watch over Ron. And this went months after months after months after months. We were crying out to the Lord. In fact, at one time, I told the Lord, "Lord, let me tell you, you know, sometimes you can be at a corner, and it doesn't matter how much faith you might have amassed. It got to a point I told the Lord, "Lord, I don't think it is worthy for you to allow my son to go through what he is going. Please, can you take what he has and give it to me and give him freedom?" It got to that point. I had to pray that stupid prayer. And of course, you know what the answer was. The Lord never exchanged what I told him because I was praying in stupidity. But let me tell you, we waited and tarried and went to the hospital. Sleep studies were done over my son and nothing would come through. And finally, just out of the blues, just because of praying and waiting upon the Lord, one night my son went to bed and he had absolutely no problem until this very day. Praise be to God. Waiting upon the Lord is difficult. But there are certain things, certain qualities that we, it is without nothing that the Lord puts it in scripture that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what? Their strength. They shall run and not do what? They shall walk and not faint. Certain scriptures, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. I will wait upon the Lord. I will trust upon his loveliness. I will trust the Lord my God, and I will wait patiently for the Lord. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you, it is easily said than done. If somebody tells you today to wait for something, it is easily said to you than it is to apply yourself to it. Waiting upon the Lord. Praise be to God. And maybe you are in a diet. I know some of you, some of us have tried to lose some weight. And every kind of a diet you try to apply yourself unto, you know it doesn't really work. And you've been waiting and telling God, give me other ways. Give me other ideas. Set me up with a group that can really help me so that I can really reach out to my goal. And sometimes it has not been forthcoming. It could be a single person, maybe wanting for too long. You're looking at the clock of your chronological clock, and you're seeing, oh my goodness, time has really passed by, and nobody has ever come to ask me for marriage. And it could be maybe you could be on the other side. You could be waiting and waiting upon the Lord, and nobody seems to be coming your way. Waiting is a difficult thing. Praise be to God. Heading somewhere. Waiting, despite our impatience and our dislike for it, is a vital element in life. And indeed, waiting has a number of benefits. Hallelujah. There are some of the keys, some of the key questions that we might ask ourselves. Why do I have to wait this long? What does it mean for me to wait? What is involved while I wait? How am I supposed to wait? Who and what are we waiting for? Why should we wait? How long do we wait? We are all surrounded by a culture that is in an instant gratification, a culture that is easily and instantly gratified with things. Amen? You need a car today, you can walk into a dealership and they can give you a car. You need some clothes, you need a very nice jeans or whatever kind of a dress, you can walk into a clothes shop and get yourself a dress. We are surrounded by children. When they come home, they're harassing you. They need food and they need it right now. If it delays 1 minute longer, you're a bad mom, you're a bad daddy. We are surrounded by a culture. You know, people will send even emails to you that, you know what, come and get it, you can pay later. And we have fallen into those traps, and sometimes it has been so difficult for us before we can recover and come back and pay the later that they told us to pay. Without even realizing that later would also bring alongside itself some other issues that when it is combined together, it will bring a quagmire and put you in a hole. Praise be to God. Oh yeah, come and get it. You can pay it later. Very easily. And we fall into those traps very easily. So what does it mean to wait? We are going to get into the scripture, into the Bible, and see what really it means for the Lord to tell us to wait upon the Lord. Praise be to God. Now, in the Old Testament, this word wait is translated from the word Hebrew, which means kavah, Q-A-V-A, A-H, and it means to bind together, to look patiently, to tarry or to wait, to hope with an expectancy, and to look eagerly forward for. Praise be to God. In the New Testament, the word wait is denoted from the word proskedonai, which is the primary word that means to receive to oneself. Waiting to receive, waiting expectantly to receive. Praise be to God. An expectation and a looking forward for and a waiting eagerly to receive. Praise be to God. So what is the essential factors of waiting upon the Lord? Number one, the essential factors in waiting upon the Lord. Number one, waiting necessitates the passage of time. Hallelujah. If you're going to have to wait, there have to be some passage of some time. God, even in his authority and in his sovereignty, designed this universe and designed everything in it, the laws inside it, and so that for our own enjoyment. But how many of you know that if the Lord just opened up every resource that you're supposed to enjoy right now, How would you be able to handle it? You'll be confused in the quagmire of, or you'll be overwhelmed by the number of things and the number of the resources that the Lord has given you together. Some of us, we may not really have the ability or the character to handle some of the things that the Lord wants us to have. Our lives is not just a one-day life. Our life is just consigned within about probably 70 years. And the Lord has a way of trickling down his resources that will benefit his purposes for us to accomplish his purposes here on earth. Praise be to God. When you are born, the Lord had to delegate somebody who is your parent, your mother and father, to rear you up and prepare you for work that you'd have to come and do when you grew up. None who was born here as a little child was just given a car to drive. Or were you born and you were given a car to drive by your parents, or a bicycle for that matter, because you may not have had a car? When you were born, you were in the arms of your mother. And the Lord just gave her the necessary necessary milk and the necessary food to rear you up and to prepare you up for your destiny. For us to receive certain things from the Lord, let me tell you, we have to learn in a hard way that waiting upon the Lord will have to involve passage of time. Somebody say passage of time. It should be very clear in our minds that whatever you want to wait upon the Lord doesn't just want to drop anything onto you, onto your plate. How would you recognize his glory? But the Lord wants there to be a certain time when you can wait upon him, a certain time where time will pass so that when you receive what you really have been needing, you can appreciate the glory of God and you can appreciate his providence. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. You'll get it. I know you will. Waiting upon the Lord will necessitate the passage of time. Turn with me from into the book of Psalm 130, verse number 5 to 6. Psalm 130, and if somebody finds it, you can read it for me. Psalm 130, verse number 5 to 6. Praise the Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul does what? Does wait. And in his word do I hope. Thank you, Jesus. In his word do I do what? My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Now, what do you understand by that? How many of you have ever worked a graveyard shift? How many? You lift up your hand like you know, like you've graveyard shift. It's that hour from 11 to, you know, 7 in the morning. How many of you really enjoyed it? Seriously, you know, you are so excited. Oh my goodness, I'm going to work. And throughout that, the whatever, 8 hours, the graveyard shift, you really enjoyed it. No, be sincere. Sometimes. I will tell you, man, I worked a graveyard shift. I was a security officer. And I can't tell you whether there was anything in my life that I ever did that really was torturous as doing that. Because you know what? You, especially when the medical people, you are looking after patients who are not asleep. But when you are a security officer, you are alone in a building and you're supposed to watch a monitor until that morning comes. It is not easy. You would yawn, you would whoop and try to stop your eyes, you slap yourself. How many of you have you slapped yourself? And you're really eager, looking forward, when is this morning gonna come? But there's one thing that you have an assurance of. Just because it happened yesterday, even today it will do what? Hallelujah. You have seen the sunrise ever since you were a child. No one time has the sun refused you know, it went on strike, or they decided to go to planet Pluto or to Neptune or whatever, but the sun has always obeyed how it was set by the Lord. Every single morning that sun will show up and it will radiate the face of the earth and bring warmth and light and glory and happiness and joy into millions and the inhabitants of the earth. Praise God. And so even as you walk that night shift, that graveyard, I don't even know why, no wonder they called it graveyard shift. Because you're alone. It's a scary, yeah? Yeah? It's a knock shift. It's called knock shift. Knock shift, that knock shift, you know, you are looking forward. You know that, you know what? I cannot wait for 7:15 when I will be looking on the east and I see the rays of the sun just beginning to pop up from the hills of North Carolina. And they will be coming and I will be glorifying God because my morning is done. And I am ready to enjoy the heat, and I'm ready to enjoy the sun, and I'm ready to embrace the goodness and the joy that the sun brings. And you know what? Also, the plants are really ready to, you know, for the sun, because they are ready to begin to make their food, to process their food, because without it, they cannot make their food. Praise be to God. And so the Bible says, the psalmist writes to us and he says, my soul will wait for you, Lord, with a certainty, knowing that you are going to show up. Hallelujah. Knowing that the Lord is not going to fail you. Knowing that the Lord will definitely show up in my case. Hallelujah. When we were tarrying, let me tell you, sometimes you are knocked out of the way and you might even not see the goodness of God. When my son was sick, we were so troubled. We called everybody for prayer. But let me tell you, when God finally showed up, you could see the joy that exuded from our heart. It was almost unbelievable that I would not even sleep, you know, go without sleep anymore because my son had recovered from his ailment. Glory be to Jesus. How much, Church of God, that we ought to know that much more, the Bible says, the psalmist writes and says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than the sun. Somebody say, more than. Sometimes we have, let me tell you, church, you know, sometimes it's good to be real. Sometimes when we're in a situation and we are praying and we're praying and you know, your mind just jumps in and you're trying to figure out the natural realities of how an answer is going to come. Sometimes we don't see it. I'm telling you the truth. I've been in those situations many, many times. And let me tell you, unless we learn to trust the Lord unconditionally and unwaveringly so that we are not moved by situations, all the realities, the natural realities that are present at that particular moment, it will never work for us. May God help us so that we may know, as the psalmist writes there, more than the confidence that we have that the sun is going to come up in the morning, tomorrow, without any doubt, I know for sure that this sun is going to rise up in the morning. It's going to show up. So I'm going to tarry, and I am looking at my clock. It is 4 a.m., but I know 2 more hours, and I'll begin to see the rays of the sun. The psalmist writes and says, more than the sun comes in the morning, I will wait upon you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Because the Lord never wavers. The Lord thinks about us. The Lord will always show up for us. If we don't waver, if we don't fail to trust him, he will definitely show up. Glory be to God. More than the watchmen. Wait for the morning. Praise be to God. There would have to be a passage of time. I don't know what you're going through, my brother or my sister. It could be an issue that you may not even be in a position to have disclosed or shared with somebody. It could be maybe a family problem. It could be a thing that has nagged you for so long. And you know what? Just between you and God, and probably you've never even been able to share it with anybody even who is close to you. And your heart is filled with agony and you're going through travail, and many times you've prayed and cried out to God. My encouragement for you this morning, church. My encouragement for you, my sister, my brother. The Lord God who is in heaven has an ability to see that need clearly as it is. He has a clear picture of how a solution is going to come by you. Praise be to God. You may have prayed, you may have tarried, you may have waited, and it has, you almost have given up. The natural reaction and tendency is to say, oh, you know what? This is not going to happen. I've told you many times when I wanted to come here in the United States, I know from a young kid, I had this passion of coming to America. I didn't even know why I wanted really to come over here. And I tell you, I'm working in the bank, you know, I thought I heard a voice, and I've told you this many times. I hope I don't bore you by telling you this. I thought that I heard a voice telling me that you need to come out of Barclays Bank and go prepare yourself for I'm sending you to Kenya. I'm sending you to America. And the moment I am coming out of the bank, guys, listen, I'm coming out of the bank, I resign and I'm coming off. And I am so excited now. I'm going to fill all the applications and I'm going to go to the embassy and I'm going to flash with my family and I'm going to go to the United States of America. Sorry, Tony. That's not how it's going to come. Sometimes we scheme ways thinking that the Lord is going to come in a certain exact way. And we plan and we even make arrangements for how things are going to get organized. And little do we know that, let me tell you, God's ways are different than our ways. Man, I tell you, I got out of that bank and I was hit with the greatest shock of my life. That when I went to the embassy, the lady was looking at my certificates against the light. And he would look at the certificates, shook her head and said, no, I don't trust that you're going to come back. And here I am, I'm having a wife, a family. I have resigned. We don't have any source of income. And I'm thinking I'm going to go to America and make a lot of money, be rich. Let me tell you. Oh, God. Let me tell you. The lady shook her head. And let me tell you, you know, have you ever felt that really, it is like a feeling of coldness and freezing that goes down somewhere inside of you. You don't know whether it is the spine. Some people say it's the spine. But although it is in the intestines or somewhere the hair, you know, some feeling that makes you feel like you're going to go to the restroom right there and then, and you don't feel like you want to go. And the environment was not kind as well, because there were people, when I looked on the left, there were mamas who were crying. Some other men, I think they were also really trusting to go to America. They were also crying with their papers holding. the environment was not helpful. Now, what turned to be like, I'm going to America, it turned out to be 3 more years. Three more years like in hell. I am telling you so. The friends that I knew at the bank, you know, by the way, working in a bank in Kenya is a very prestigious position. You get a lot of money and you're respected, you know, on a tie every time. It's not like, yeah, well, you know, they don't pay you good. In a bank there, they pay you pretty good. So all my friends deserted me. In fact, a friend would look at me, oh, you left the bank. They're thinking that maybe I'm borrowing the money, and they'll cut a corner. And let me tell you, living in a town like Nakuru, you know, you meet all these friends. It's not like in a farm, you can go somewhere to farm, maybe for a whole day. But you're meeting with these guys every in the Kenyatta Avenue. You're meeting with them on their street. And they are avoiding you. Let me tell you guys, God wanted to teach me something. Let me tell you something I never done. I decided to go to Kisii, and I've told you many times, to buy pineapples. Pineapples, I was really selling. I started, we have to eat. We have to pay the rent. America has really failed. And here I am, I have a wife. And she's wondering, how are things going to do? What do I do? Do I just sit and wait going to America? A man got to do what he got to do. That's what they say here. A man got to do what you got to do. So, man, I went to Kisii. I even wanted to learn really Bakusi. Because that's where the pineapples were coming. And I started buying pineapples and I would peddle them in the street. And I would shouting, oh, pineapple, pineapple, pineapple. Some of the guys we were working together in the bank, they would come and shake their head. Some of them would buy from me. Man, let me tell you. I waited and cried out to God, did I hear my voice? Why did you allow me to think that it was you while it was my voice? I remember, in fact, one time I went to a place they used to call Catalonia.
Catalonia was a prayer center. And I said, my wife, you know what? I'm going to go there until the Lord talks to me. I'm not going to come to you until the Lord talks to me. And I remember I was in this cubicle number 7, really praying and interceding. And I heard the Lord tell me that you and your wife and your son, you're going to go to them, to the United States of America. I said, again, Lord, no. No, no, no. Is that you, Lord? Because I feel you like there's a voice telling me, but I don't know whether it is you or it is my voice. And so I'm breaking the fast. I think I'd stayed there almost 3 weeks, and I'm coming to my wife. She was really excited to see me because she thought maybe I would go and die in Catalonia. And I'm applying again to go to the embassy, and guess what? They deny me a visa again. So you know what? In my heart I said, oh, you know what? Maybe I was never born even to go to America. Why bother anyway? I'm going to go to South Africa now. I'm going to go to South Africa. We arranged with my bishop, and he was going to South Africa, and I had little money, and we chartered the plane, and we went to South Africa to preach, minister the gospel. Cut a long story short, I went and applied for a school there, came back, and I was waiting for the response. No. I said, what is this, Lord? I don't understand. Did you really want me to die here and not to really pursue my purposes here on earth? I started nagging God. But let me tell you, one day, there was a full gospel church nearby where we were living, and I remember went there 5 a.m. with other brothers. And I don't know where, out of nowhere, I burst out into a laughter that was unending. I laughed. It's like I was pouring out my frustration in laughter. Have you ever been in a prayer session whereby you pray and, you know, the Holy Spirit just gives you a holy laughter? I mean, it's like somebody was tickling me, you know, and I laughed and I laughed. You know, cut a long story short. We had applied for this, you know, the lottery green card. And we forgot about it. There was a bomb blast, you remember? And so everything really got so delayed. And finally, as I went to the embassy, I was still checking whether the school from South Africa had sent a letter. That's when I found a letter saying congratulations. You know that, the way the green card thing says, congratulations. Man, I can't tell you. I opened it and... I don't even know how I got home, seriously, because I think I was praying in tongues and thanking God. This, finally, my agony is over. But waiting upon God is not easy, church. That thing that you've been waiting for, the Lord has prepared it in a package, and he has sent it out. Remember Daniel? Do you remember Daniel? When he's prayed for 21 days, but the moment he said, His heart to pray, the Lord unleashed the answer. Many times the Lord unleashes the answer, but it's held up in the air. But it's for a benefit that it was actually even for the benefit to keep. You know what? Daniel didn't just pray, you know, just wait and enjoyed, you know, the good food of the king, or enjoy, you know, the position that he had. But what did Daniel do as he waited? Come on, guys. What did Daniel do as he waited? He was interceding. He was praying. He was praying, Lord, let your will be done. I still need this issue. I'm still trusting you, Lord. I'm still trusting. And he continued. Hallelujah. So even as we wait upon the Lord, we are not going to stay idle. Are you listening to me, church? You know that, for example, this is where the will of God is. This is the will of God. And what you're going to do is you're going to look at it and you're waiting on it. The moment the Lord is going to get me there, I don't know how I'm going to go through there, because when I look between me and where the goal is, there is a rough terrain. I cannot go there because I might be consumed by some wild animals. But I'm waiting for the Lord to clear the passage for me so that I can get to my destiny. But as I wait to get to my destiny, I am going to wait while praying and doing the will of God. And the will of God is prayer. The will of God is fellowship. The will of God is finding yourself in the right fellowship group of people who are going to give you positive encouragement. Are you listening to me? Oh, hallelujah. The process of waiting is so difficult, and I don't even have enough time to let you know that many people are not going to understand, and they are not supposed even to understand what you're going through. You may even openly share with the people who are very close to you about certain things that you're going through, but they may never ever understand exactly how you're going through it. Praise be to God. Because the thing that you're going through, it is you in particular that God has set so that you can receive that blessing. And let me tell you, also, when God gets you to the point of your blessing, many people will not understand what happened. Because between the place where you are and the place and the journey that you traveled to get to your destiny, people may not really understand it. And no wonder they can feel jealous that God has blessed you, because they may not really understand the story behind the miracle that you have enjoying. The glory is so glorious, and everybody celebrates and says, wow, I can't believe this has happened to Sister Purity. But wait, because they were not ready to participate in the story. The story was agonizing. I had to tarry the whole night. I had to go to Catalonia almost for 3 weeks without food, and praying and crying and shouting out to God. Many people don't want to be involved in that story, but when the glory comes, glory be to Jesus. They may say whatever they want to say, and I am going to walk with a swagger, because you know what? I've been through the story, and now I'm enjoying the glory. My God, yes, it has been a long time coming. I can enjoy, and I can afford to walk with a swagger. When you see me walking a swagger, do not hate on me, because you do not know where I've come from. I may have walked through a terrain that was so destructive, but I dare to go there anyway, and that's why I walk with a swagger, because God has given me victory. God has given me a blessing. God has given me some glory, and I dare shout. I can shout. I can. Glory be to Jesus. No wonder when you see somebody in the church just worshiping and crying out to God and pouring out their hearts to God. You know what? You may not know where they have been from. When you see them lifting up their hands, when you see like they're worshiping like crazy, just leave them alone, because you may not have an idea where the story is about. You may not even understand the magnitude of the story. Glory be to Jesus. Do not look down on somebody, because you never know what God can do in somebody. God can instill some, unlock some potential within somebody's life and begin to swim up. But you know what? He may have to do that because they waited upon God. Oh, glory to Jesus. There's some benefits that we reap after walking and waiting upon the Lord. Now I'm able to face some situations, and when they don't come through, I'm not bothered at all, because I have a point of reference. I can tell God, you know what? This mountain that looks so staggering and almost opening up its jaws to consume me, I'm not ready to go closer to it, because I've been in a situation where, God, I waited upon you, and because of waiting upon you, came through for me. I'm not bothered, because I will face this mountain because of what you did for me. Hallelujah. Those experiences, I value those experiences. Hold them so dearly close to your heart, because you will need them in times of trouble. You will need them in the next mountain that is lined up by the devil for you. Are you listening to me? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Friday. Just this Friday, man, listen. Most of you know that I go on the road. You know, I drive trucks sometimes. Sometimes I'm here. I'm in a place in Missouri called Harrisonville, Missouri. And I'm going to pick up a load to bring me to Dallas. Let me tell you, I covenanted with God that I'm not going to miss church because of this business. Lord, I want you to bring me home every single moment. I made an agreement with my Lord. One day I was in South Carolina, and I was not able to come home just because of missing a load. Man, and I got into this facility, and they told me, you know what? Oh, you know, something happened. You know what time it was? 12 on Friday. Talk to you, Tony. On Friday, they told me, oh, you know what? So sorry. This load has been picked up by somebody. I'm in Missouri, 540 miles away from here. And I said, oh, God, it is 12:30. It is so difficult on a Friday to get a load to go home. Lord, I have a meeting tomorrow with the department leaders meeting. And on Friday, I'm really preparing to be in the church for worship. Lord, remember the covenant. And they said, no, we are sorry, we cannot do it. And I started to say, God, you know what? I'm here on a mission to provide for my family. And I'm also on a mission to serve you, Lord. I am not here to benefit myself. And Lord, as long as you live, Lord, you're going to create an oasis in the middle of this desert. Lord, I need you to give me a load. And you know what?
The moment I prayed that, I called my wife. My wife said, I told her, you know, the way I told you, we always scheming our own little things. Suppose I don't get it. You try to look even for a Lord going to San Antonio. I don't mind. I'll go there. My wife said, no, you're going to come to Dallas. Some of you don't know my wife yet. She is crazy faith, you know. I mean, she says, you know, sometimes it's difficult for me also to really say what she says. If she says, you're going to come to Dallas, I said, okay. And you know what? I retracted. I went to my sleeper, and I stretched forth, and I was praying and thanking God. I said, God, I'm yours, and I thank you for the wonderful time we're going to have tomorrow in the meeting. I praise you. I've prepared. I'm ready. Let me tell you, it's 2:30. Still, have you been in that 11 hour waiting upon God? It's 2:30. You don't have anything. 540 miles away. And just as I'm praising, the company that had given me the previous load, you know what they did? They already sent 150 because of promising to give me a load, and they failed to give me a load. So naturally, they're supposed to pay me, you know, for ordering, you know, an equipment and failing not to use it. And immediately, can somebody say immediately? Oh, God, you love this, man. I'm telling you, on the spot, a load just showed up from the Lord from nowhere. And we went ahead, called them, and gave me that load. You know what? The previous load was supposed to, I was supposed to take it back on Tuesday, the day after tomorrow. Now, this load that they gave me was not only lighter, it was paying more money, plus the 150 that I got from the other people, I got an extra $500 on top of what I was supposed to get. And man, I just said, God, you know what? This is you, Lord. Let me tell you, that might be a simple thing to you. But how many of you know that it is in those little things that the Lord wants to teach us how waiting upon the Lord is very important? If I would have grown into a fit and throwing and beating up at the side of my truck saying, God, why did you allow this to happen? But you know, God, and many times I do that sometimes. And I know you also do that in the secret when nobody's seeing you in your bedroom. You're beating up the bed and you end up, you know, hurting your feet and you say, now what did I do? Because you're so crazy that maybe you've been disturbed by somebody and you know, why did they do this? You know? Guys, let me tell you this. Waiting upon the Lord. And I went up, and that's why I'm here this morning. Waiting upon the Lord sometimes, you know what? It takes an experience, because when you go through some experiences, Brother Rod, you know that exactly how the Lord came through in that area. It gives you the confidence. It is what the psalmist say, it is waiting for the Lord. My soul waiteth for you more than the watchman waited for the morning. It is more. The Lord is more than the sun. He is the creator of the sun. Hallelujah. If he is more than the sun, then I am going to have confidence and I am going to relax. Okay, I was really prepared. Whether he comes through for me, whether he doesn't come through for me, it is still okay. I'm going to find a way to go back to Dallas. But because he saw my attitude, the Lord created somebody just, and let me tell you, after that, there was the load boat shut down. Nobody was shipping anything else. But at that particular moment when I needed it, there was that load for you. Oh, glory to Jesus. I have a message for somebody. What have you waited for too long and you're almost giving up? There is a load for you somewhere. At the 11th hour when you're just about to give up, when everything looks so blink, when everything, you are at the 11th hour and you're just about giving up the towel, let me tell you, do not give up the towel. It is just about to happen. It is just about to happen. It could be maybe your school. Things are so tough you cannot understand this subject. It could be your boss who is against you. Let me tell you, keep waiting upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my God. There are so many stories. I was walking somewhere and there was this man, he really, I don't know why, there are people who naturally dislike people. I worked with this guy, he was my boss sometime. And every time I gone into the office, I don't think he was born again, but I think maybe it is what I had in me that really disturbed him. But every time he would see me, he would create some fits in the office. He was so uncomfortable.
And I wondered, what did I do to this man? Man, I'd never shouted at him. I talked to him nicely. But every time he doesn't want even anything to do with me. He would rout me and every time, you know, despise me. And especially you people from Africa, blah, 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 blah. And I said, God, what did I do to this man? And I realized immediately that there's something that the Lord wants to teach me out of this experience. I told God, as long as you live, I'm going to stay in this office. And because I'm your child, you're the one who gave me this job and I'm going to tarry here. Whether you're going to take this, let me tell you, some prayers you pray, please be very careful. Because I prayed, Lord, even if you want to take this guy out of this place, take him out. Let me tell you, the guy didn't even last 2 weeks. Something happened, he was involved in a scandal, and they fired him. And I said, God, I can't believe this. This guy has been really against me. Now he is the one who is going out crying with the shame. He was, you know, the way they pick up all your goods and they take you outside, he's like even escorted with security. And in my heart, I was saying, where? Do not play with a man of God. Yeah, do not play. Let me tell you, people who play with the anointed of God, as you are the anointed of the Lord, you have been sealed, you are earmarked for glory. The Lord has purchased you with his blood. Anybody who lays a finger on you, they are playing with fire. Let me tell you, but in the midst of that turmoil, keep your peace. Keep your cool. Do not be involved in what they say. People, they're involved in maybe talking dirty language. Do not be involved. Do not be one of them. But you know where you normally go. Under you know, that corner. It could be maybe in the bathroom and you pray and intercede for that office. Let me tell you, sooner or later, the answer is on the way. Hallelujah. It could be a child. It could be a family member. It could be a spouse. Whatever it is that you're waiting upon the Lord. Waiting is a hard process. Praise be to God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as in eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I cannot really exhaust what we all have here. But I just want to give this maybe one or more, 2 points, and then we can conclude. Waiting means confident expectation. Somebody say confident expectation. You know, this is the confidence that you have when we wait upon the Lord. For example, if there's some TV shows that you love, right? Like I love Discovery Channel. Like now, I think I've watched The Frozen Planet. How many of you have watched The Frozen Planet? Yeah, only one person. You guys, what do you watch? CSI, CNN? Did somebody say, what is that? Discovery. That is Discovery. Okay, The Frozen Planet. You know, okay, this is what I want to say. You know your favorite maybe could be a TV show or a radio program. And you're waiting, maybe you might be working, and you know it comes out at 5:30. The confidence that you know that you're going to sit under your couch and really use your remote, and at 5:30, that show will be on. What is that confidence you have? Do you even have faith? You trust that your TV is going to work well? You trust that somebody is not going to call in sick? And somebody handed in over the tape so that it would run at 5:30, right? And you trust that the radio station will not be bankrupt at the time you'll be watching. You have that confidence that at 5:30, I'll be really sitting down and ready for my show, right? It is that confidence that you're waiting upon. You know, whatever you're going about your business. But you know, at 5:30, I'm going to be seated somewhere in my house, and I'll be ready to watch my Frozen Planet. That is the confidence that you have, praise the Lord. You know, it is the confidence expectation. That's what happens when you wait upon the Lord. You know what? I don't care about what the Lord is doing. I may have I've applied for my job. I've given them my credentials. I've given them my certificates. I know the right person will be there lined up by the Lord to check out my certifications. And he will check out on my documentation, my experiences. And they will not shut me down because the Lord is on my side. It is that kind of a confident expectations. I'm not even going to get worried. I'm not even going to pray about it sometimes because sometimes, you know, how many of you know sometimes you don't even have to pray? Because when the Lord is on your side, get me right. When the Lord is on your side, he's going to work out things for you. It is that confident expectation that things are going to work out right. Might take some time, yes. Because waiting upon God, there has to be passage of time. Praise be to the Lord. Confident expectation. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, waiting also involves expectation based on knowledge and trust.
Without knowledge and trust, we simply won't wait, at least not without a great deal of anxiety, and usually not without taking matters into our hands. So we have to have knowledge about what is involved in waiting, you know, to have the knowledge, knowing that the position, what is God's position in your life? God is all-powerful God. God knows all about you. Do you think God does some things, you know, that he doesn't know about you? Do you know there are certain things that you may not really know about you? Until you make a step of faith and try to do it, you realize, aha, I didn't know that I can do this. You know, like for example, Tony, one of these finders, maybe you're going to preach to us. You know, in your mind right now, see what you look, you did? Tony did like this. Me now? Now me, are you, is there another Tony behind you? No, you. Let me tell you, the moment you make a step of faith and you prepare yourself, you'll be surprised at the innate potentials that you have. Some of those potentials are still locked inside us because we have never attempted to make a step of faith because of fear, because of intimidation by the devil. But the moment you step up, you'll be wondering, wow, did I have these abilities? But do you is it me? Yes, is it me? But you know what? The Lord is not surprised that he knows that you can do it. And it's not new information. You think God goes, wow, I didn't know that he can do that. You know that the Lord goes, wow, is that my son? Wow, I didn't even know he had that. No, the Lord is not surprised. So the Lord is not surprised about anything that concerns us. He knows about the baby that is just about to come, Mama Koi. He knows it. He knows how that baby is going to look. He knows even where that he is going to attend school. He knows where you know everything about that, the baby that is soon coming. By the way, we have a baby shower for on next week. Eh, Sunday? Saturday at 3 here in the church. Mama Koi, can you praise the Lord? Can you stand up on your feet if you can? We're having a baby shower for her. You can see how heavy she is? The baby's almost coming out. Please, Saturday at 3, we're all meeting here to come and support them. Amen. The Lord knows about that baby boy that is coming soon. You don't even have to worry how you're going to deliver, bring him into the world. The Lord knows everything. The doctor who is going to do, who is going to bring that baby into this, who's going to assist in bringing that baby into the world. You don't even have to fret about it. The Lord is on your side. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, if we know this confidence, and I'm speaking to us, if we can have this confidence in who the Lord is in our lives, that he is omnipotent, that he knows about it and he cares about us, we will not even fret about anything in this earth. We'll continue to serve the Lord even as we wait upon him. Amen? Praise be to God. Whatever issue, whatever idea, whatever thing that you're going through, my call, the Lord is calling us to respond to waiting upon the Lord. Shall we all stand on our feet, please? In your heart,